Sex Talk, your sex-positive radio show hosted by Alberta Sex-Positive Education and Community Center. My name is Angel, and I'm your host this evening.
We are a nonprofit, so if you enjoy the show and you want to support it, feel free to check us out under our About Us tab. There is also a Support Us link where you can help financially support the center, and you have no idea how much we'd appreciate that. Hit me up if you have any questions. Today, we're talking about something that might be a little challenging for some listeners. We are talking about emotional labor and this rather interesting phenomena that happens in spaces that advocate for any aspect of social justice. And in this space, we advocate for a few of them. Like we advocate for queer representation, for inclusion for all kinds of diverse cultures. We advocate for consent. We're pretty much anti anything ism or ick, except fantastic. You can do that. And we quite often find that folks who are a little more privileged, and that's not a bad word, so I'm always really hesitant to say it because nobody even wants you to say the word privilege. I have a lot of privilege. I'm white. And I know that that comes with a horrific amount of privilege. And that's not to say that I'm like, yay, I'm white, I deserve all the better things. It's just an acknowledgement that there are doors that open for me that are a lot harder for people who aren't white to even find the doors, never mind get them to open.
For sure.
For sure, right? And then I'm cis as well. So I was assigned, well, I should always say mostly cis, because I really resent gender. But I was assigned female at birth. A doctor looked at me and went, it's a girl. And for the most part, I'm okay with that. Although I think all the personality traits that are assigned to people that are born with vaginas are a bunch of bullshit. But regardless, I'm still pretty okay with the whole, you know, kind of femme thing. And that comes with a lot of privilege. When I give people my pronouns, I am not likely to be treated with violence. I'm not likely to be argued with or to be told that it's my lifestyle. I also present as heterosexual. I'm not, but my partner is masculine presenting, so people make a lot of assumptions about both of our sexuality. And that opens a lot of doors for us as well. And because of that, we're allowed to walk through life. And unless we choose to be aware of it, we don't have to be aware of the discrimination that folks in same-sex or same-sex appearing relationships face. So, I mean, I know I come from a lot of privilege, so I want you to know that when I'm talking about this, it's from a position of privilege that I'm even able to fucking talk about it in the first place, right? But what we find is people come into spaces like this, and if they've never been exposed to some of the ideas we talk about, like using your pronouns or, you know, how to make sure that you've made space for someone to let you know that they're not consenting, they instantly have a million questions.
Yeah.
And they expect us to stop what we're doing right now and educate them on it. And they're not, like, typically they're not rude about it. Like, they're not going, fucking educate me, bitch. But, like, they...
just this wave of questions. They go from, oh, yeah, this is interesting, to just all the questions. Just all, they just need all the information all of a sudden. And their questions start so... The questions start in such a way, it's just like, you've never even heard of this subject before. You haven't done any research. This is the first time this has ever entered your realm, your sphere of influence. You've never heard of this before, and you're just asking all the things and expecting all the information.
And I'm always curious, like, where are these people that they've never heard of these things before? It's on the radio, it's on Facebook, it's on FetLife, it's on documentaries, it's on the news, it's in your newspaper, it's being talked about at school and at church, and, like...
I guess, but we all, the idea of collective experience is also fairly flawed and pretty...
No. If I have the information, everyone has the... Oh, wait, that's a fallacy. Oops. Damn! No, I really struggle with this. So, like, I want to be really honest and apologetic as we're starting the show. Like, this is something I really freaking struggle with. I feel like because I'm not extraordinary... that everyone should have the same ability to navigate the shit that I do. And I don't come to you and say, hey, Kyle, teach me all the things. I go read fucking books. And you know, yeah. And I'll reach out to folks who are non-binary and be like, what books would you recommend?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to read the TERF shit. And TERF is trans exclusionary radical feminism, in case you're wondering. There are people that argue against gender, and or argue, I guess, that gender is binary.
They argue a lot of the few different aspects, but they basically argue against trans existence.
Yeah, a bunch of TERFs. I want to put worse words in there, so we'll just stick with TERFs.
Oh, I was going to say there's a
farts.
The yeah.
Farts. Yeah. They're farts. I don't even remember what it stands for, but it's funny as fuck.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter anymore. It's like, they're farts.
Feminism appropriating radical...
TERFs?
I can't remember.
Right, it's something. It's something, anyways. But, I mean, it's not funny. We're laughing, but it's not funny. But I have personally witnessed at least a dozen people drag in the last month drag you into conversations about gender.
Yeah, I'm a trans woman. I openly trans, and I do a lot of the like, oh, you've never been here before? I'm going to do the tour. And part of the tour is here at Aspect, we use within our introductions, we introduce ourselves with our names and our pronouns. And
yeah, and we could actually do that right now, because I don't think I introduced you folks on the show. We were just so excited to dive into this conversation. So for those that are listening, this is Sex Talk. My name is Angel. I'm the program admin at Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center, and I use she and they pronouns, and I'm here today with Kyle.
My name's Kyle. I use she her pronouns, and I do all kinds of volunteering and come to all different kinds of events. I'm a little bit of a busybody around here.
Absolutely. And Azalea.
Hi, I'm Azalea. My pronouns are they and them. I do a lot of the creative work around here. I'm working on beginning my creative career. So, that's what I do around here. Plus a lot of other things.
So anyway, so you do your tour and you introduce yourself with names and pronouns.
And either they'll start asking questions about like, oh, pronouns, what are pronouns? It's like, well, he or she or they, and then they ask questions about, and then they should start asking all the questions about that. And then more often than not, that will trail into all these questions about being trans, about like, oh, well, you use different pronouns than I would have thought, or
the veiled hints about the
veiled hints
and BS then, and matching the stereotype.
And then it go then more than more few times, and I anticipated some conversations to happen and stuff like that, but I'm really shocked about how many times that it goes from, oh, pronouns, what surgery are you getting? Pardon? Like, there's an entire conversation except from that, because I'm a no-op trans person, and then you need to explain that to them. And it just the questions that come out from, oh, this is our policy. Well, educate me. I've never heard about this thing. Tell me all the things about this subject, because I don't want to get in trouble while I'm here.
Which, I mean, fair and valid, except for the fact that every event description states we are a queer space. We're hosted by queer folks. We're run by queer folks. We welcome queer folks, and our policies are very... My signature on the email when they reach me for questions is Angel, she, they. Like... it says right on it, pronouns, she, they. We have a link on the website for pronouns. Like, so I'm frustrated.
Yeah.
I think that, and have any of these events, Kyle, been about trans topics?
No.
Like, on a scale of 1 to 100 events, how many of them have been about gender?
Our only event about gender is our trans non-binary two-spirit support group. It's the only thing that is specifically about gender.
And do you get asked those questions at the trans two-spirited non-binary workshop?
No, we talk about those subjects, but we don't ask each other those questions. It's completely, totally different.
Yeah, it gets really, really exhausting when... It's not just the one person. Like, one person a day, great. It's the same conversation. I can get used to the same conversation. However, when you've got a lot of bodies coming into the center and you're doing tours or working the desk, and that's the conversation that that the person is trying to have with you while you're trying to sign people in, take their money. It's just like...
Host an event.
Maybe not the right... time to ask about this. Maybe I don't know, book a time, maybe pay me for my time, for my expertise, for my knowledge. I don't know. Like, Google if you can afford it. Or, well, yeah, Google it. Like, there's so much information on the internet. I think we forget that, like, this information is kind of accessible still. Like,
it's, but why it's should I accessible. Go through the trouble of Googling it when you're right here?
Yeah, that's what it feels like sometimes.
I think humans are inherently lazy. The only reason why we continue advancing technology is so that we don't have to work, which is, I don't have any problem with, but I'm saying that, like, people, I'm a cynic and an optimist all in the same box.
We're very creative at getting ways to not do work.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's my, sorry.
I was like, what the hell is that? No, we do notice this all the time, and it does come up with gender on, I would say, a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And for context, for folks who haven't been to the center or maybe have only come to one or two events, we see between 200 and 500 people a month through here.
Yeah.
And some of those absolutely are repeat people who already know and whatever. And every month there's more repeat people, so that's fantastic. But that still leaves a couple hundred people a month who've never been here before. And we have a core volunteer group that I'd say is under a dozen people who are constantly, every event, fielding these questions from 20 to 50 people every time. Yeah. And we don't just run events on Fridays and Saturdays. So they get to deal with this during the day when they're in here minding their own business, doing their admin duties. They get to deal with it when they're answering emails. They get to deal with it while they're here to enjoy an event. We've had attendees, and I want to say harassed, by other attendees at the event because they don't present gender in a way that is stereotypical.
Yeah.
So gender is a big one. We're going to talk about this more, about why it's important for you to do the emotional labor yourself in your learning journey. You've been listening to Sex Talk. My name is Angel. I use she, they pronouns, and we'll be back after this short break.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Moulin Rouge. Where's all my soul sisters? Let me hear your flow, sisters.
Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, flow, sister. Oh. Hey, sister, go, sister, soul, sister, go.
He met Mama like down in old Moulin Rouge. Strutting stuff on the street. She said, hello, hey, Joe. You wanna give it a go?
About that cake straight out the gate. We independent women, some mistake us for whores. I'm saying, why spend mine when I can spend yours? Disagree? Well, that's you, and I'm sorry. I'ma keep playing these cats out like a car. High heel shoes, getting love from the Jews, four badass chicks from the Moulin Rouge.
Hey, sisters, soul sisters, better get that dough, sisters.
We drink wine with diamonds in the glass by the case, the meaning of expensive taste.
You wanna itchy, ya-ya.
Come on,
mocha chocolata.
What?
Rio lady, mama.
One more time, come on.
Rise.
misdemeanor here.
GTFOradio.com. Adult entertainment 24/7. GTFOradio.com.
Give it to me now. Give it to me now. Give it to me now. Give it to me now.
Give it to me now. Give it to me now. Give it to me now.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna make it so good, I don't wanna leave, but I gotta know what's your fantasy.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes, and I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. When I wanna you make it so good, I don't wanna leave, but I gotta know what's your fantasy.
Georgia Dome on a 50-yard line while the Dirty Birds kick for tree. And if you like it in the club, we can do it in the DJ booth or in the back of the VIP. Whipped cream with cherries and strawberries on top. Don't stop. Keep the door locked. Don't knock. While the boat rock, we go bots and robots, so they gotta wait till the show stops. Or how about on the beach with black sand? So thigh, they call me the Pac-Man. Tabletop, but just give me the lap dance. The rock to the park, to the point, to the flatland. That man ain't ludicrous. Woo! In the public bathroom or in the back of the classroom. However you want it. Lover gon'. I cast them and I pass them, get a tight grip and I grasp them. I flash them and I'll last them, and if it ain't good then I trash them. Why you stash them? I let them free and they tell me what's they fantasy. Like up on the roof, tell your boyfriend not to be mad at me. I wanna lick you from your head to your toes, and I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna you make it so good, I don't wanna leave, but I gotta know what's your fantasy.
Lick you from your head to your toes, and I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. When I wanna you make it so good, I don't wanna leave, but I gotta know what's your fantasy.
I wanna get you in the bathtub with the candles lit. You give it up till they go out. Or we can do it on stage at the Ludacris concert, cause you know it got sold out. The red carpet, it just roll out. Go ahead and scream, you can't hold out. We can do it in the pouring rain, running when it's hotter, when it's cold out. How about up in the library on top of books, but you can't be too loud. You wanna make a brother beg for it, give me TLC, cause you know I'll be too proud. We can do it in the White House, try to make them turn the lights out. Champagne with my campaign, let me do the damn thing. What's my name? What's my name? What's my name? The sauna, jacuzzi, in the back row at the movie. You can scratch my back and rule me. You can push me and just pull me. On hay in the middle of the barn, a rose petals on the silk seat. Eating fresh fruit, sweep your woman right off of her feet. I wanna lick you from your head to your toes, and I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna you make it so good, I don't wanna leave, but I gotta know what's your fantasy.
Lick you from your head to your toes, and I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. When I wanna you make it so good, I don't wanna leave, but I gotta know what's your fantasy.
I wanna get you in the back seat, windows up, that's the way you like them. Clogged up, fog alert, rip the pants and rip the shirt. Make it hurt in the garden, all in the dirt. Roll around, Georgia Brown. That's the way that I like it. Twerk, legs jerk, overwork. Underpaid, but don't be afraid. In the sun or up in the shade. On the top of my Escalade. Maybe your girl and my friend can trade. Off the rope, on the ocean or in the boat. Factories are on unexposed. What about up in the candy store? That chocolate make it melt. Whips and chains, handcuffs. With my belt. Scream help, play my game. Dracula, man, I'll get my fangs. Horseback and I'll get my reins. School teacher, let me get my reins. Lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna, you make it so good, I don't wanna leave. But I gotta know what's your fantasy.
Welcome to Sex Talk, your sex-positive radio show hosted by Alberta Sex-Positive Education and Community Centre. My name is Angel, and I'm your host this evening.
With me today are two individuals who are bucking the gender binary in ways that are just fucking fantastic. And they've been gracious enough to agree to come and talk about this topic. And I super appreciate it because I know that we're going to, well, and this is the point of the topic today. I know how exhausting this is. Azalea, you were talking about how this isn't just one or two people a day. Like, and it's not just here at Aspect, right? So yeah. I would like you to walk me through a few things. Can I ask a couple of pointed questions?
Sure.
Okay. So you use they, them pronouns.
Yes, I do.
And so who are the first people you had to reach out and educate on that?
I actually had the first people who I talked to were the people here. Okay. I it was 3 or 4 months into being here and I had realized I had started describing myself as genderqueer in writing, but I didn't really connect it with my identity really, other than what descriptors, because this was my online identity. I didn't know who I was. I mean, I still don't, but, so when I came, I had been here for 3 or 4 months here at Aspect and, been working here, been working my ass off because I love,
and we appreciate it.
But I was spending many hours here. So I got the
For context, if you've seen any of our event postings, those beautiful graphics that show up, that's Azalea. And I am just in awe. They do an incredible job.
But, yeah, so, I had been, it had been kind of, seeped into my soul that, I wasn't just...
That genderqueer was a real thing, a tangible thing.
Yeah, it was a tangible thing for me, and that I could settle into who I'm choosing to be, versus what someone else, the person who conceived me or raised me or whatever.
You made your own box.
I made my own box.
So how much emotional work went into just give me an estimation in hours. How many hours of emotional work did you put into just figuring out that they, them was a good representation for you?
For
100 hours?
At least 100 hours. I spent weeks. I spent months all through from the end of November to the middle of January, I came out just after a dear friend of mine, and I mean, it was a pretty big celebration. In my mind, I was like, holy fuck, fuck.
So when you came out to Aspect, were you scared?
Oh, I was terrified.
And that's in a space where we already have folks who are gender nonconforming. We already use pronouns as people direct us.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how terrified?
I was probably at a 8 or 9.
So I have to reiterate this. In a space you knew was safer, it was still terrifying.
Yes.
I'm cutting you off because I know this is a 5-hour conversation, but I want to make sure we cover some really cool points here. So if you want more information on this topic, we're going to recommend how to find that kind of stuff. And for you, Kyle, how many hours do you think you invested into figuring out your own gender?
When it got to the point of a trigger warning, it got to the point of a suicide attempt. And before that, it was just non-existent. And then kind of having a couple of conversations with a couple of very trusted individuals who told me to look at it. And I spent every day after work from 5:30, get a small meal, into midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning for 5 or 6 months. Just looking at timelines, looking at people's experiences, looking at what trans and transition is. Just so hours and stuff I couldn't even calculate it. Thousands, hundreds of thousands.
Who's the first person you told?
my very, very best friend, we were actually talking about the whole bathroom thing, and they just made a comment, because I was of the idea of like, oh, well, you know, genitalia is certain areas. You have certain genitalia, you go to certain bathrooms, and then them being like, no, actually, this is a thing, and being like, oh, I feel that way. Like, oh, well, maybe you should read about this, and that's something you should talk to your psychologist about, and I did talk to the psychologist, and the psychologist is like, hey, like, this might be a thing for you. Look into it and see how you feel about it.
So I just want to make sure I'm on the right page. Yeah. Thousands of hours invested into this. And we're not talking about, like, the kind of hours you put into cartoons. Like, we're talking about
this is research hours.
Devastatingly emotional research where you have to look at yourself, challenge core beliefs, and you already know.
I cried every night for a month reading this stuff, trying to figure out, is this where I am? Is this who
I am?
No,
I'm going to cry. Okay, and then on top of that, at that point, you're still, you know, now you've got to put all this more research and more hours in and convince medical professionals and whatever that this is an actual thing.
Yeah.
And we haven't even talked about talking to family at this point. No. So, like, and the reason I'm making this point is because this whole episode is about how we ask people to do their own emotional labor instead of walking in to spaces like this or the bus stop or Safeway or whatever and seeing somebody. And we're only talking about gender today because we don't have time to talk about anything else. Okay. But if you see somebody who's not representing gender in the way that you expect people to, demanding they do the work, you're actually saying, I know that you cried, that you dealt with high anxiety, depression, like trigger warning here, right? But bullying, self-hatred, not knowing who you are, self-harm. Not knowing what the words were, self-harm, suicide ideation. And that is before you ever even verbalize to someone else that this is who you are.
Yeah. And then for a shadow of a thought in your conscious mind.
So I want the listeners to just imagine for a moment that something is integral to how you view yourself as your gender. And just think of what that means in life for you, right? If you had to invest all that time, and you're talking about just normal people. These are workaday people. They don't have 10 years of researching gender. They didn't get a $70,000 degree. They don't have a team of people hanging out in their bedroom when they're 6 years old until they're old enough to verbalize this to their family, going, here's the research, here's the information, here's the steps to take. They have to become Google scholars and figure this shit out for themselves, digging through the dregs of Reddit and 4chan and whatever other horrible boards you found. Yeah. They did that work for their own health, safety, and ability to just thrive. And you come into a space like this where you know we're queer supportive and you walk in here and this is supposed to be a safe for them to be safe, for you to be safe too, to be who you are. And you immediately say to them, educate me.
Tell me all the things about your world.
What's in your pants? What are you going to put in your pants next month? Like, just educate yourself. Do the emotional labor yourself instead of asking people to do it for you. And I've got two really sad non-binary folks sitting here right now thinking about all the pain and shit they went through. But one of the ways you can support people is to walk into a space like this and be like, I'm so proud of you for doing that work. Point me in the right direction rather than do it for me.
Yeah.
I want you, the person who's already paid in society over and over again because of our fucked up stereotypes, to do all the work. Is that about right?
That's how it feels. Yeah.
I mean, considering, like, I just want to take a minute to walk through, like, a glimpse of a day in the life, because I wake up and I have to decide at about that point whether I want to explain or have people look at me while I walk down the street downtown and curl their lip at me because I decided not to wear a wig today because I like presenting masculine sometimes. And sometimes it's become a bit of, I mean, I can't even deal with it right now because I have other things that I need to do with my home life, because I have to do the emotional labor there too to be able to even exist in the place that I've decided to have home.
And even people that love and respect you, I'm sure, are trying to be supportive, but how much emotional labor are you expected to do for the people that even love and respect you? Like, no disrespect meant to anybody who loves and respects you like I do, but I know I make you do some of the emotional labor too.
Yeah.
Inadvertently. Do you know what I mean? But this is the world, right? So, like, how often in your own spaces are you being asked to do that labor?
Constantly.
I mean, I have physical disabilities and mental illness, and so I'm always in the doctor's office and they're always asking different things, and I've kind of gotten to a point where I'm like almost gonna just stop asking at the doctor's office for them to call me by my chosen name, because it's just, I have to update every single new doctor, specialist, everything, because this is such a new decision for them.
And I know this is a really sad place to wind off, and you're getting this a lot on the show lately, because we're talking about real things that impact sex positivity, and gender is a huge part of that. And we are going to come back, and I have a couple other really pointed questions I want to cover, so that you can really understand how important it is to take the burden of educating yourself into your own hands. And we'll talk about what that looks like. My name's Angel. You were listening to Sex Talk, and we'll be right
back. Hold up. Such a sadness.
Niggas got me pissed like little pimps.
I cried.
A lot of places, seen a lot of faces. Uh-huh. Oh hell, I even fucked with different races. A white dude, his name was John. He had a Queen Bee Rules tattoo on his arm. He asked me if I'd be his day for the prom, and he'd buy me a horse, a portion of farm. Damn, a nigga from down south used to like me to spank him and come in his mouth. And Thorny, he was a thousand. Uh-huh. He didn't give a fuck, that's what I liked about him. Uh-huh. He ate my pussy from dark to the morning. Called this girl up and told her we was boning. Puerto Rican Bobby used to be a deacon, but now he be sucking me off on the weekend. And this black dude I call King Kong, he had a big ass dick and a hurricane tongue.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house? I got to know. How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house? Tell me. How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house? How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house?
Goes out to my niggas in jail, beating they dicks to the double XL magazine. You like how I look in the aqua green? Get your Vaseline, roll some weed with some tissue and close your eyes. And imagine your tongue in between my thighs.
Feel me, open up, cell block 8.
Alright, that's enough. Stop, look and listen, get back to your position. Kim got your dick hard, starting fights in the yard. Oh. Hotter than a Pop-Tart, fresh out of the toaster. Niggas do anything for a little Kim poster. Essays, Bloods, Crips, all the thugs up north in the hole. They all wanna know.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house?
Tell me.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house?
Tell me.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house? How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house?
In the street, hold on to your seat, niggas, grab your meat while I ride the beat. And if you see a shiny black Lamborghini fly by you, that's me the night rider, dressed in all black with the gat in the lat. Lunatics in the street, gotta keep the heat. 60 on the bezel, 100 on the ring, sitting pretty baby with a cash money bling. 12 a.m. I'm on my way to the club. After 3 bottles, I'll be ready to fuck. Some niggas even put me on their grocery list, right next to the whipped cream and box of chocolate. Designer pussy, my shit come in flavors. High class taste, niggas got to spend paper. Living right the first time, all you gotta do it over. Like it's rehearsal for a Tootsie commercial.
How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house? How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house? How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house? How many licks does it take till you get to the center of the house? Tell me.
to the center of the town. At least every day till you get to the center of the town.
Are you looking to try something new but not too scary? We've got a sexual adventure for you. Three candles, all very low temperature, different colors for an exciting sensual experience. www.eroticcandle.com.
Hey folks, wanted to let you know that we have a program that desperately needs your support. Our current youth support program is for kids or LGBTQIA2S+ in the ages of 12 to 25-ish, and it takes up our entire calendar every Sunday. We have a team of volunteers that work with the youth, that supervise, offer things like karaoke, Dungeons and Dragons night, board games night. We have an artist that comes in, and she used to work at the Yes with disenfranchised youth as a social worker. So she kind of provides a little bit of resiliency training, but calls it art class. And the kids are really thriving in this space. Last year we had a grant, and that supported us until the end of July. And then we had a wonderful individual that comes to the center that donated the entire month's worth of costs to cover August. And we've been applying for grants and looking at all kinds of funding opportunities. But if we can't get some funds into the center to cover this, we can't afford to give up that day of bringing in funds. We need this sponsored. The artist is the cheapest part of the whole thing. We still have to be able to absorb the cost of the space for Sundays and the materials and the refreshments and things like that. If you're interested in helping out, you can reach us at admin.aspecc.ca. Or check out our website at www.aspecc.ca. Under the About Us and Support Us, there's a fundraiser tab where you can see all the different fundraisers, including the youth one. Your support is desperately needed and much appreciated. Thank you so much. Again, that's admin@aspec.ca.
Middle fingers up. get no love. Fuck boys get no love. Fuck boys get no love.
Welcome to Sex Talk, your sex-positive radio show hosted by Alberta Sex-Positive Education and Community Centre. My name is Angel, and I'm your host this evening.
Today we're talking about the importance, as you're heading into sex-positive spaces or queer spaces, or learning how to just be a better human, that you do the emotional labour of educating yourself rather than expecting people to educate you with their lived experiences. And I don't want to say that if you're going to a workshop and you have a choice on a gender workshop of going to a cis person who's teaching a class or a non-binary person who's teaching a class to choose the cis person. If someone's offering you that information, absolutely. Go to the people that actually have the lived experience if you can, if they're offering that information in that public way. But what you don't want to be doing is walking up to people and saying, hey, I can see that you fit XYZ demographic, teach me all the things. And when we're talking about gender, all the things typically leads to a ridiculous conversation where you're asking a stranger about their genitals. Like, just don't. Just no. Do not do that. It seems like an obvious one to me, but like I know from being here and watching it that it's not obvious.
How many times the conversation has begun at, oh, these are my pronouns, and have ended with them asking me about what type of surgeries. I'm a trans woman, for reference. Starting with pronouns and the conversation within two, three questions is right down to what kind of surgeries or what kind of genitalia do you have. Like, it just doesn't.
And I don't think they use those words either, do they? Like, no, they're a lot blunter. You're being polite. You can just say yes or no. It's fine.
Yes, I'm being very polite. Okay. Usually it's...
Because I was feeling impressed for a moment.
Some kind of side-handed comment while they're looking at your groin, right? Like, it's... There's no other way to perceive what they're asking than them asking me what my genitalia is. Or what I or if they do have a small amount of education, what I plan on doing or what I have done with my genitalia.
Like, which the answer is, unless you're planning to lick my genitalia, not your fucking business. In my opinion.
And even the people...
Or if you're my doctor and you're providing me with urological help.
Yeah, but even people I've gone on dates with and stuff like that, or we're starting to move in the direction where, you know, there might be some, you know, intimate interactions. It's still, like, even the people I've been with, it's been this, well, I don't know what you have and I don't care. Like...
But, like, which type of condom should I bring is a reasonable question.
Right? Like, that. Yeah. The questions are just unreasonable.
And so when we're talking about the emotional labor, and the reason why we shared the dark stories and we talked about the hurt, and I really just want to give everybody big hugs right now, but is because I don't think people understand what that means, emotional labor. And that's why I wanted to really belabor that point in. Like, and it is a lot of horrific pile of work. And I am proud of both of you for being able to navigate that. And I think you're role models to the communities you live in, that you can find the answers you need. You can be who you are. And even though it's never going to be easy peasy, it gets easier, right? You find the spaces, you find the support systems, you figure out who's your friend and who's not and that kind of thing. But when you're coming into a space, I don't care what space it is. Like, say your bus stop is my favorite because I know folks get harassed everywhere they go. And people think that if you're here at the Sex Positive Center, your job is to educate. And it is the educator's job to educate. And that educator is a different person every time. But it's probably not the person you're harassing. So, like, you know, have some awareness. But for folks who aren't coming out to places like this, I mean, you're at the bus stop and you see somebody who's gender non-binary. Do you think they're at that bus stop hoping people ask them questions about their gender? I mean, do you sit at bus stops hoping people will ask you?
I mean, when I'm at the stop. I'm really hoping that strangers don't even interact with me at all. Never mind me asking personal details about my life and existence.
How about the grocery store, Azalea? Do you go to the grocery store hoping people will stop and ask you about your gender?
No. I sure get under breath comments as I walk by sometimes, and that's really unnerving, because I would say that I'm pretty gender fluid where as far as my presentation, so one day I'll look hyper feminine and the other days I'll be like, I'm just in a sweater and a hoodie, can you just
leave me alone
please. I yeah.
And I'm always curious, because I don't have this experience, but I wonder if cis men get that kind of street comments. Like, do people walk by cis men and make comments about their asses or their clothing or their hair or their...
Well, I was a very masculine presenting individual for 26 years, and no.
I honestly think this is very unfair. I think it would solve a lot of problems.
I was never approached for any reason whatsoever, never mind talking about my body type, my clothing, compliments, even at the gym when working out and being like, hey, I like even kind of mutter under myself, like, yeah, I just did the heavier weight that I've never done before. The guy next to me or the people next to me, they didn't offer me support or comments of support or anything like that.
I wish you'd put like verbal bunny ears around, like quotation marks around the word support and compliment.
Sorry.
Because when I'm at the gym and I'm like, woohoo, lifted 160, I don't need bro dude patting me on the back or backside.
I've been to the same gym, the same people since transitioning. And, you know, kind of mutter under my breath that I, or even just, you know, you see the facial expressions or see the body reaction that I did something that I haven't done before. All of a sudden, I got four or five guys surrounding me going, oh, nice job there. Nice form. Good thing that you're doing that. Well, maybe if you try this, do you mind if I just step in and help your form? Like, that never happened before transitioning. And I'm, as the term goes, clockable. It's a horrible term, but I'll use it. I'm not the most feminine presenting individual. People are able to tell that I'm trans in public. I don't care. So they're just the change in...
Don't use that term at home. Unless you're trans, you don't get to use that term.
Yes, that is very true. That's an internal thing that we talk about.
I think it's a really important thing to know that like these experiences are limited to folks that do not have the privilege of being masculine presenting.
Yeah.
Nobody walks up to masculine presenting folks and says, what's in your pants? Tells them to smile or makes I shouldn't say nobody. I'm sure there's somebody out there that's done it just to be the exception to prove the rule.
I'm also white. So when I was a white presenting masculine person, no one corrected me on anything. I've had coworkers who are people of color, who are cis men, who get corrected on cultural type like stuff. But as a white cis presenting individual at that time, I even things that I was doing, or that I find out now that I was doing wrong, people weren't correcting me in the spaces that I should have been corrected in.
Often because they probably didn't feel safe doing so because of the privilege difference, right?
Exactly.
Which is a totally different conversation, which is why I'm heading this one off. Because no, I want to make sure we wrap up with some suggestions. So like, I'm cis, where would you send me to educate myself? Like, because there are some real shitholes we don't want people falling down if they're looking for information on gender. So if you're curious about trans issues, you want to be educated, you want to learn more about it, where would you send people?
I would actually send them to Google. even Facebook. I mean, if you want to look and if you want to find out what kind of information and stuff like that people have, it may not be the most constructive areas to look, but when you look at the comment sections on anything to do with certain subjects, you're going to get all the positivity and all the negativity. And if you go through the positive comments, you can find references. If you just Google the stuff that you're looking for, just looking for gender, A quick bump over the comments will tell you very quickly if the article you're reading is supportive or unsupportive of the general population of that particular subject.
Doesn't matter what you're looking up, yeah.
Yeah, Google,
sexism, honestly. And if it, would, all the comments are like, wow, this is like 1940s, yeah, then probably not a good book.
And what I do with the information that you find is constantly challenge your own idea of gender and, like, just do your own emotional labor. The comment sections are brutal, especially if you feel that they're being pointed at your type of person. To remove that
privilege,
not privilege, it's more of like being offended by the fact that someone is angry at people like that are not unlike you, because there's probably reasons, there's history there. The thing you have to remember is that the people who are angry a lot of the times have reason to be, because they have, like, the more minorities, the more boxes that you end up in as a minority, means that's the amount of pressure and the part of your identity that you constantly have to be you're constantly educating people. What if, I mean, I've only come into like the gender conversation recently, but it's a constant, like, as I'm educating myself, I'm feeling the pressure of people wanting my input, and I'm like, okay, I'm happy to do that, but when I'm not going anywhere and I'm constantly saying the same things to basically the same types of people, it's exhausting.
I love that phrase, Azalea, the same information to the same types of people. It's not folks who are questioning their own gender that are going, guide me, where do I go get the information? It's very, very rarely folks like me who are like, I want to be more supportive, help me, because we're already taking the courses, we're already looking for the information. It's the,
or you know how to phrase it nicely.
Well, I just want to know where the resources are, right? And my favorite, the first person I met who was openly trans said, read Gender Delusions by Cordelia Fine, and it is by far my favoriteest book, because I thought I had gender down, and I read that book and went, oh shit.
Podcasts and like, mm-hmm, just listening to just having information that there's access, if you can access the information, you can like try to consume as much information as you can.
Yeah, not just one book. You can't just read one book and it's like, oh, I get it. Like, you have to constantly be open to new information.
Actually, no, a good place to start people off with, Wiki.
Oh, Wiki. Oh, yeah.
Yes, those pages information can be changed. Can changed, not Urban Dictionary.
No.
Yes, Wikipedia can be changed by outside sources and stuff like that, but at least it's monitored enough that it's, when the inappropriate changes are made, then people go back and check them. Or when appropriate critiques are made, there's actual references and there's actual links down at the bottom and sources, and
you can check it all.
You
out.
Can double check your information. And remember, no single source of information knows all the things. Get your information from multiple sources.
I love that. Well, I'm gonna have to wrap this up, but I really want to thank you, Kyle and Azalea, for coming out on the show and for being willing to do the emotional labor today, so that hopefully less people will be asked to do the emotional labor. And if we get through to even two listeners who are like, damn, I've done that, I'd say problem solved. I'm going to leave you with the idea of tone policing, do some research. We actually have a blog post up about that, so you can check that out. And if you want academic resources on things about gender and how non-scientific the binary is, hit me up. This is Angel. You've been listening to Sex Talk, and I'm wishing you a sex-positive day.
Attention seniors, did you know that sex without a condom can get you all kinds of lovely gifts like gonorrhea and syphilis? And even oral sex requires a barrier in order to prevent these very awful STIs from being transmitted from one person to another. Make sure you've got your condoms and barriers and use them wisely.
Goodbye.